2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation is basically a word of getting back together. If a husband and wife have a big falling out, a big fight, and they don't want to talk anymore, one's moved into another bedroom, they ain't speaking, one's run off maybe, or whatever's happened. But to be reconciled means that both of you come together and decide, let's make up. Let's forgive each other. Let's just get along. And then they hug and kiss and they make up, right? So now they've reconciled their differences. And that's what God did in Christ, because sin is such an enemy of God. Sin is so terrible in the mind and sight of God. I mean, there's a scripture in Habakkuk that says, the eyes, he's so holy that he cannot even behold iniquity. He can't stand to look at it. So it's an offensive thing to God. It's a putrid thing to God. He doesn't like sin. He hates sin. In fact, he hates a lot of things. He hates, there's seven things he hates. One's a proud look, a lying tongue, a lot of things. You know, someone who brings strife among brethren. He hates a lot of stuff. And I particularly don't want to make God mad at me. I don't want God hating anything I'm doing either. So I want the favor of God on my life. We all need the favor of God, right? So I want to be reconciled. How could I have been reconciled to God without the blood of Jesus? There is no way possible. There is no way the sinner out here without Jesus, the blood of Jesus being applied to their life, the reconciliation of the blood of Jesus has to happen before anybody can be reconciled to God. But this is the good news. He did it once and for all 2,000 years ago. He sent his only begotten son. He loved the world so much. He said, I sent my only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So God was in Christ when he went to the cross. He was in him that day when he was nailed to that tree. And that's the day that God reconciled the world back to himself. He's not reconciling the world back to himself every day. He doesn't have to come back on the cross and die again. He did it once and for all. And we are now reconciled to God. The world owns Jesus. The whole world owns Jesus. The problem is the world doesn't want Jesus. The problem is most people don't run to Jesus. Most people don't want to be reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus. But they can be. Doesn't mean it's not available. You can own a lot of things and never appropriate it. You can own a lot of stuff and never take advantage of it. But I say God wants you to know that whatever Jesus provided for you at the cross is yours. He provided it at day at Calvary. He never took it away, and it's still available to whosoever will. You are the whosoever, and you've got to determine, I'm going to be the whosoever who will lay hold on salvation. And salvation means whatever it is you need to be saved from. If you have problems financially, he said, I know how to bring you to revelation, to hang on to the word of God and appropriate the promises of God to bring forth salvation in that area of your life. It's provided. He's not going to come down and do another thing to provide for you. We want God to come down with a magic wand and touch us on our head. We want God to be a McDonald's drive-through God and poof things in our lives. I learned a long time ago that God crying and begging and squalling and trying to talk God into doing something for me doesn't get God to do anything for me. How can you get somebody to give you something he's already given to you? See, he's already given you everything through Christ. The world, you own Jesus. He's yours. He's the Savior of the world. He belongs to everybody. And God was so good to send his son and raise him from the dead, and then seat him at the right hand of his throne. You see, we have a lot more than we realize in Christ. Now I'm going to read these verses again. And let's look at them again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that's me, that's you. If you're born again, that's you. You're in Christ. Believe me, you look a whole lot better in Christ than outside of Christ. You look a whole lot better to God when you're in Him. Because God loves Jesus. But you know what? God loved you more than He loved Jesus because He gave Jesus for you and me. He who hath delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not by Him also freely give us all things, which He did? He's given us all things. The problem is we don't know what all things are. We know it's a lot of all things out there God has done for us at the cross and at His death, burial, resurrection, and seating at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. I was walking through Lowe's the other day and I said, my Jesus is alive. I got Jesus in me. I don't have a dead God. My God ain't dead. My God's alive and He's living in me. And He's with me. I'm never alone. I walk around happy because He's alive. And if there's a problem come along, I got Him right here. He's right here on board. I don't go have to holler and squall a long time for Him either. He's Johnny on the spot for me, buddy. He's my God. He's my friend. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You don't have to be afraid of a thing in this life. If you've got fear, shame on you. That just means you don't know who you are in Him. If you have 1 ounce of fear about anything, the tax collector, the bill collector, the banker, the doctor, the bad reports, you got fear about all that stuff, shame on you, body of Christ. We need to know who we are in Him and we'll get rid of the fear. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't believe that yet. That's the problem. You've not laid hold on that yet. You haven't made that yours. You got to own Jesus. You got to own everything He says He is to you. You got to make Him your Jesus. And you got to make every promise your Jesus' promise. He never lied to me, and He never lied to me. He's the anchor of my soul. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. That's my confession. But I've been reconciled to God. And the more you recognize how reconciled you are, is more on your part than His. He's already done His part to reconcile the world to Himself. It's the world now who's got to come to God. It's you and me that's got to come and be reconciled in every area of our lives. You are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. And it's time to get your mind reconciled. It's time to get your body reconciled. It's time to get your spirit reconciled. It's time to get your thought reconciled. It's time to put everything into subjection to the obedience of Christ. It's time to cast down imaginations and bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. If it offends God, then it ought to offend you. If it doesn't make God happy, it shouldn't make you happy. If it displeases God, it should displease you. You need to come and line with what pleases God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you're not being rewarded, it's because you're not doing your part. He's done everything He can do for us. You can't look at the cross and say, He needs to add to that. He needs to help. I need to help God out a little bit. No, let me tell you, He did a complete salvation plan. He has reconciled us back to Himself. Through Christ. Now it rests squarely upon us. How reconciled are you to God? How obedient are you to God? How willing and obedient? You'll eat the good of the land. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord and give you the desires of your heart. There's so many promises. So many truths of the Word of God. And I'm living them. I know they're real. I know it's true. Hallelujah. And the best part is, I'm a new creature. And I know I'm a new creature because I ain't doing the things I used to do. The new creature, you don't like the things you used to do. Get acquainted with the new creature part of you. Get acquainted to build Him up. The new creature likes God. The new creature person in you, your inner man likes the things of God. It delights in the things of God. Now your old flesh ain't going to like it. Your flesh ain't ever going to like the things of God. Just understand that. But that's okay. Because we're all in the same boat, babies. We're all in the same boat. None of our flesh is going to agree with God. You got to crucify that part of you. But when you build your spirit man up, then the crucifying part of the flesh is easy. It's easy. But if you only get one cold snack a week, and you never pray and you never read the Word, then yes, your flesh is going to dominate you. Your mind will take you over, and it'll cause you all kinds of trouble. But if you start seeking God, and get serious about the things of God and get on your knees and pray and spend time with the Lord and start reconciling, deciding, I'm going to reconcile my life to God because he's already reconciled himself to me. Now I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to talk with him. I want to get to know this God that died for me. Hallelujah. So, and who is the new creature? What's the new creature being look like? What's a new creature person look like? Jesus expressed the new creature. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. See, new creature people believe God. He said, these signs will follow. See, the word, the signs follow the believer. Did you know that? He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Did he not say that? A lot of times when I've prayed for somebody, I'm just appropriating the new creature that God said I am than what I can do as a new creature in Christ. Missing opportunities here to lay hands on your neighbors, your friends, your cousins, aunts, and uncles. I'm out in the town. I'm around. Somebody got broken up. Oh, can I pray for you? Don't even know the person. I've had preachers tell me, no, I pray for myself. Thank you anyway. I'm thinking, what's wrong with these folks? What's wrong with them? God's wanting to heal them, and they're saying, no, don't touch me. I'm all right. I pray for myself. I got my own way of praying. I mean, I can't imagine not accepting prayer. I got kicked out of the house one time because I went to pray for a girl who was going to die in 2 weeks, and God sent me to her house. I didn't even know her, and the family called, said, I'm going to call the police if you don't get out of here. And they put a guard by her door, and she died 2 weeks in the hospital. Now, that's just something crazy about that. So, look at the new creature. Look what this says. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, is what the Bible basically is saying. Whew. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So if you're still acting like the old creature, you just haven't come into full revelation yet of what the new creature capacity is and capabilities are. And what your Father has appropriated for you in the reconciliation of his life inside you. Because the life of God is powerful. The life of God has so much power. Think about the Holy Spirit who came and lived in you, who made you this new creature. That same power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is housed inside your body. Duh. Did you ever think about that? Just spend a little time thinking on that one. Let that bring revelation to you. Become aware of the power that's available to you in the new creature birth, the new birth. You know, Jesus made the statement to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. And that's not just talking about going to heaven. That's talking about entering into and accessing the gifts and the power of the kingdom now. A lot of people will go to heaven when they die, but they live a miserable Christian life while they're here because they don't know who they are in Christ. And they just barely getting by, going to make it in somehow. By the grit of my teeth, I'm going to make it into heaven. Just somehow, I know if I hang on long enough. You know, hateful, mean, praying every day, forgive me, Jesus, 100 times a day. I hardly ever say, forgive me, Lord, anymore. I hardly ever say, forgive me, because I walk around forgiven. I walk around with the revelation, I am forgiven. I walk around with the revelation that I am made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to get righteous. You'll never get righteous enough to go into the kingdom. You've got to let your revelation hit you and know that you are made righteous. You can't make yourself righteous. God did that when he raised Jesus from the dead and you entered into that kingdom. See, I just had to come along 2,000 years after all that God has done and have someone preach this word to me. And then I had to say yes to that, cross that line and enter into the kingdom through the new birth and then start growing in the revelation of what he has provided. It's like walking into Big Daddy's mansion and saying, well, all this belongs to me? You mean what all belongs to me? There's a lot of rooms in the kingdom you've not explored yet. There's a lot of things about the kingdom you don't know yet. And you can't appropriate what you don't know. So it's important to know what you have. You have to find out. And that doesn't happen in a twinkling, in a moment. And you got to take time seeking God. That's our part. You know, we want easy. Am I right or wrong about this? Don't we all just like easy? But God says, seek you first the kingdom. Seek you me and you shall live. Well, I tell you, when he told me that one day, I definitely want to live. And he didn't just mean it's a twofold meaning. Live now, the Zoe kind of life and live in eternity. See, actually, you stepped into eternity the day you got born again. Eternity began in you. The top, that time moment changed the day you got born again. You entered into the kingdom whether you recognize it or not. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is so important, because you've got to be transformed. You've got to present that body of yours to God, because that body is going to keep you out of the kingdom if it can. That body will send you to hell if it can. That body doesn't like the kingdom things of God. Your body and your mind is enmity to God. The carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy of God. You'll think wrong. You'll talk wrong. You'll act wrong. You'll feel wrong. Your emotions rule you. You're going to end up in hell. You've got to allow the enemy to be put under your feet and walk in the victory that God has provided through Christ, and allow your spirit man to dominate the rest of you. And that's as simple really as it is. But I hope you hear the anointing here, and I hope you hear the words, because that's what really matters, is it is entering into us. Amen. Is the revelation coming? But you all understand what I'm trying to say here, that we've got so much we're missing. We're missing out on so much because we allow our flesh to dominate us. We allow our minds to gear the old way of thinking. And God's got a new way of life, a new way of thinking laid out for us in Christ. We just got to find out what the will of God is in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're a new creature, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, what are the new? Well, something new is new. You might not know much about it. You might not know much about it, right? Well, let's look at Romans 12. I keep hearing that. So let's just look at Romans 12. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 2. This is a challenge. This is the challenge of everybody, myself, everybody. Everybody's challenged with this. 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't be trying to fit in. Don't try to find a place that works for you in this world. Don't be conformed to it. It's like a woman that's trying to put a dress on that don't fit. I had all these clothes that were 8s and 6s. I couldn't conform to those. I couldn't fit them. See, once you're born again, you're a new creature. You're not going to feel comfortable in the world again. Once you came out of the world, you're not going to feel like you can. You might try to conform, but you're not going to feel good there. It's never going to feel good again. You're never going to enjoy sin again like you once did once you get born again. Life will be just getting up, eating, sleeping, going to bed, going through the routines and getting up. I mean, it's just going to be just basically existing. But God wants you to live. He wants you to understand that you've been made a new creature so you can now access the kingdom. It's through the new birth that you access all the benefits of being a child of the King. You're a child of the living God, and you can walk and talk with God on a daily basis every day. He said, I will dwell in you. I will live in you. It's just wonderful to be free from the kingdom of darkness. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If it could come another way, folks, I would have done it. If it was an easier way to do it, I would have done it. If there was another way to get transformed back and transformed to the kingdom, if there was another way to get my mind transformed, I would have already taken that route. But I have learned after all these years that there's only one way for my life to be transformed. It's by the renewing of the way I think. And then once you determine this is the way you're going to start thinking, then you've got to determine this is the way I'm going to start talking. I'm going to believe what I think. I'm going to start agreeing with what I'm thinking. Do you know the double-minded man can't please God? He can't please God. The double-minded man will say, oh, I believe this, and talk about how much faith they got and talking, but then they'll come over here and talk something else. When you finally ever come in the middle of the road and believe and say exactly what you think, 100% of the time, then you're making progress in being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this next part of this verse is so fun. This is the fun part for me to be a Christian. This is the challenge and the fun, exciting part of being a believer. And believe me, I've been a believer 36 years this year. And I've been walking with God a long time, and I have not always pleased God. I have not always done the things that please my Father. And you ain't either. And I'm sure I won't please him tomorrow like I should. Like I really want to. You know, it starts with the want to. It starts with the want to, doesn't it? Does it start with the want to? Well, I'm sharing today how to do it. And how to really, really please God. And how to appropriate the promises of God. And how to access the kingdom through the human spirit. Your human spirit is the only part of you that can talk to God. God talks to your spirit. He doesn't talk to your head. If you got a thought in your head and you thought that was God, it ain't God. God don't talk to your head. And you'll know when it comes out of your spirit. You won't even wonder if that was God. You'll know that's God. God just talked to me. They told me, I had 3 years ago, they told me, took my truck in because it was running bad. It's got 300,000 miles almost on it. And I've had it since 2001. I bought it new. But I used to sell insurance. I've done a lot of running in it. And took it over there and I said, the clutch is acting funny. And they checked it out. Yeah, you're going to need a new clutch pretty soon. Well, I just started, well, how much is that going to be? $650. So I said, okay. Lord, you know, they said that I need a new clutch. And I said, you know, Lord, you know where that money's at. I don't know where it is, but I said, you know where it is, so I'm calling it in. And I said, Lord, you know, I reason with God. He said, come, let us reason together. He said, plead your case. And he talks about how we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive. I needed to receive $650, okay? So I'm talking to my high priest, and I'm his. I belong to him. So I said, Lord, I'm calling that money in the name of Jesus. Angels, I tell you to go out there in the east, the west, the north, and south. You know where that money is. I call it in. I command it to come in. I call my clutch fixed. I call that clutch fix in the name of Jesus. So I'm praying the way I know to pray, right? So I'm getting out of the truck one day, and the Holy Spirit, as plain as any person could have come up to me and talked to me, he said, it was like he was kind of standing behind me. He said, and I heard these words. He said, you don't have to be concerned about that clutch. It's going to be okay for a while. Just as clear. And I said, well, Lord, thank you. I appreciate you telling me that. And I have never thought of another minute about it. Is the clutch acting any different? No. Do I still have to pump it? Yeah. Do I still have to grind? Yeah. It is still 3 years later. It's still running just fine. But isn't it good to have someone who's on board in your life who can tell you these things? Isn't it worth all the price I've ever paid to seek God and know God to hear a word like that? And I know it wasn't my thinker. It was the Holy Spirit talking to my spirit. And I heard it clearly. And I can't even tell you all the things that he's told me. And brought such peace. Of course, I didn't have any. I wasn't in distress about it anyway because I knew he'd take care of it. But he just does so many wonderful things for his children. But see, we don't allow him to be God to us. We just got to rest in him. You know, Israel couldn't enter into their rest. This is the rest where I cause the weary to rest, he says. He's got a rest for the people of God. Hallelujah. See, they didn't enter in because of unbelief, and you won't either. You won't enter in to rest. And I tell you what, I get pretty much anything I ask God for. I really do. I know that sounds braggadocious, but it is the truth. I'm running around all over Lexington one day, and I had these dirty Nikes because I run around a lot. I clean the building. I'm up and down the building. And these shoes, I'm looking down, and I don't like washing tennis shoes. They're white. I like white and black tennis shoes. I don't like that crazy stuff. But I said, Lord, I need a new pair of tennis shoes. You know that? And I said, I'm in Lexington. It's really about 15 after 8 at the time. And I think I started talking to him. And I said, you know something, Lord? I've been desiring a pair of Asics. And I don't want some of them cheap Asics. I want the good ones. I want the $200 Asics, okay? And I said, you said how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I said, these feet ain't looking too beautiful today, Lord. You see them feet? And I said, I need a new pair of Asics. And I said, you know exactly in this town where there's a pair of Asics, I don't have to pay $200 for them, but I want a $200 pair of Asics. But I don't want to pay $200 for them, and I won't pay $200 for them. Even if I had $200 in my purse, I wouldn't do it. I know, I just won't. It's just something. Tate's Creek Road, and the Holy Spirit clearly spoke to me. He said, your Asics are at Fayette Mall. I heard him so clear. It wasn't a head thing. It was a spirit. My spirit's in tune with God. See, you got to train your spirit man to hear God. And you do that by spending time with God in the Word and in prayer. That's where you learn to hear God. You got to spend some time with him to hear him. It's like you're tuning your antenna here. Your frequency is being tweaked. You know, you got a radio that ain't, it's got a lot of static, and you got all this stuff going on, gibber and anybody ever try to tune in a station you want to listen to so bad, and you can't because there's so much static? Well, maybe it's because you're talking too much about your neighbor. Maybe you're talking too much about your problems. Maybe you're talking too much about this or talking too much about that, that you can't really hear God because you're talking too much about the wrong things in this life. And you're not talking the word, and you're praying the word, and you're seeking God and knowing God's word. Because he never talks outside of his word. He really never does. So you start thinking like God and talking like God, it's easier to hear God. So I'm Fayetteville, I'm heading that way. I'm on the road. And the thing is, the closest place closes at 9 o'clock. Every shop in the place closes at 9. And it's only like 20 after 8. I still got to drive there. And I still got to find the place because he didn't tell me which store it was in. So I'm thinking, okay, he wants us to use a little bit of our own common sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so but I knew he's leading me. Doesn't it say they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? Even when it comes to finding ASICs, he will lead you to find ASICs. I can tell you he did. He'll lead you to find a car. He'll lead you to do anything. You just got to have faith that he's there. And he's caring and loving about every little minute part of our lives. A God who creates everything, every molecule, the tiniest little amoeba. God cares about everything in your life. So I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking, hurry, okay, got through the lights and got Dick's Sporting Goods. I know that's where they're at. They're a Dick's Sporting Goods. That's where they have ASICs. I'm talking good stuff. $200. I mean, nothing's on sale. I mean, the best sale was like 80 or 90. And I said, no. I'm set pretty much on 60, 50, 60 range. So I said, I talked to the guy and he said, no, we don't have anything on sale but these. And they were psycho looking shoes. I can't see myself wearing psycho looking shoes. You know? I don't mind anybody else. They just ain't me. So I go out of that store and I go into Dillard's, look around Dillard's, didn't have a thing. Then I go down. The time is clicking here, Lord. I said, Lord, okay, you're going to have to show me who these shoes are. So I walk on down to another store. They wasn't in there. And then I walk into another little kind of a, and these little tiny shops, you know, they don't have room for a lot of sales items. But this place had one rack in the store. And it's like 20 till 9. The man greeted me at the door. He said, do you need something? I said, yeah, I'm looking for a pair of ASICs. Well, they're over there. Point me to the new ones, right? The $200 ones, $170, $150. I said, no, I'm looking for some on sale. He said, well, there's a sale rack. There might be one or two ASICs over there. And honey, I walked straight over there and pulled out a size 8 in a white and a black that fit me perfect. And when I checked them out, of course, the tag on them was $199. They had marked down to $89 and then been marked down to $66. I got those shoes for $66 tax and all. Wow. And all that within like a few minutes of time. But that was how the Holy Spirit blessed me. How beautiful are my feet now? They're pretty, pretty. They're nice and pretty. And they can run up and down these stairs a whole lot better. But see, that's just an example of being led by the Spirit of God. But you have to hear God. And you have to not be you got to be transformed to be able to think like this and believe like this and to hear like this. It really is about us. He's already reconciled me to God. I'm all reconciled to God. I was reconciled to God. I was always reconciled to God because he reconciled the world to himself 2,000 years ago. But when I came along and heard the gospel preached and I received it and I said, yes, I want Jesus. See, we don't have a sinner. We don't have a sin problem in the earth. We have a sinner problem. Getting the sinner to see that they're lost and they need Jesus. And there's a better life and there's a better way. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the living for God is not the easiest way to live, but it's the most wonderful way to live. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. I don't have a care in the world. I don't have a fear in the world. I walk in peace every day. I'm not a roller coaster anymore like I used to be. I'm happy one day. I'm down the next. I'm depressed so bad. I want to cut the covers under my head. I used to go days under the covers, turn the lights out, stay in bed all the time. Depressed, spend every holiday in a bedroom by myself. I mean, just craziness. I'm thinking, man, the devil really hated me. And he really hated everybody. He must really hate me now. He must really hate me now. Because I know that I have authority over him. See, Jesus gave us authority. And I haven't even begun my message. You know, I've got a whole lot more that I really wanted to share this morning, but the time is getting away. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. I have a lot of stories I can tell you. Lots of good things God's done in our lives, hasn't he? Colossians 1, let's read verse 12 and 13. Are you tired of being a roller coaster? Are you tired of being up one day and down the next? Are you tired of not knowing where your next penny's coming from? Are you tired of not knowing how you're going to make it in this life? Are you tired of being fearful of going to the mailbox like me? Are you tired of the next phone call like I was? Are you tired of being tired? I can show you how to walk in victory. Because thanks be unto God who always causeth the triumph in Christ. See, you look a whole lot better in Christ than outside of Christ. Are you tired of being fearful of sickness and disease? Are you tired of pain? Are you tired of whatever? Because this, you are not going to get rid of the world. The world is here. You're not going to get rid of the devil. The devil is here. He has a right to be here. Adam gave him the right, the legal right to be here. He is the God of this world. But he's not your God. You can know who your God is, and he's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than anybody. And he's in you. It's just time to cut the chains and cut the ropes and cut your losses and move on with Jesus. Colossians 1. 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that word meet means he's given us the ability. He's given us all that we'll ever need. He's made, and what did he, when is, what does that word hath mean? It's a past tense word, right? He did that 2,000 years ago in Christ. He hath given us. Thanks be to the Father which hath made us meet. In other words, we're capable now. We're able now. He's made us meet to be partakers. See, when I was a sinner, I couldn't be a partaker because I wasn't capable. I wasn't a new creature yet. But the new creature part of me now can partake of the inheritance. I have an inheritance, and all I got to do now is recognize I'm the candidate. I'm a candidate to take part of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is my inheritance? If you don't know what you've been inherited, then you can't partake of it, can you? It's just time to find out that you've been made the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath, and everything you put your hand to, it prospers. No questions whatsoever asked about it. He said, I'll take sickness. He told Israel in the wood, I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. See, Jesus became the curse of the law. He took away the curse. He took away the curse. You know what the curse was? A lot of folks don't know what the curse was. Curse was this. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And let me just inform you, you will never, ever be able to keep the law. So that's why Jesus came, so that you could be made righteousness in him. So you don't have to worry about the law anymore. Phew, glory to God. If you just had a revelation of that, you'd be dancing all the time. Because your good works do not please God. He expects you to do good, because if you are a new creature, you're going to do good. So anyway, let's go back. I don't want to get off track. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints. Of the saints. Who hath, here's that past tense word again. 2,000 years ago, he did this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of darkness is a kingdom dominated by the devil. That's the kingdom I have been translated out of. But I wasn't just left hanging in midair. I was translated into another kingdom. You're either in one kingdom or the other. You're dominated by one or the other all the time. Even new creature people can be dominated still by the kingdom of darkness if they do not know who they are in Christ. It's when you know who you are that you know that this, you recognize, huh, they're dominating me here. That dark spirit, that evil spirit, that devil's dominating me. Sin is dominating, it's lording itself over me. Oh, no, no, no. No, sickness and disease, you will not lord over me. I've been translated out of that kingdom Anything that dominates you of that kingdom is of the devil. And you've been translated out of that kingdom. Let me show you another verse that goes along with this. It's in Romans. I wrote it down. Romans 6, 14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. You see, if anything that's of the kingdom of darkness is lording itself over you, then you just need to understand. It ain't supposed to. New creature people recognize, automatically recognize, man, this thing's lording itself over me. I just can't seem to get rid of this pain. I just can't seem to get rid of the sickness. I just can't seem to get rid of this problem or whatever it is, or this addiction or whatever. I don't care what it is. If it's of the kingdom of darkness, you don't need it, child of God. You need to stop letting that thing lord itself over you and know that it's been broken off of you and you can walk in victory 100% of the time. This is good news to me. Ought to be good news to everybody. Because you have been translated out of that kingdom. The kingdom of this world is going to fall. The kingdoms of this world are coming to an end. The only kingdom that's going to stand is the kingdom of God, and you're in it right now. You're already made a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. You've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ. We already own it all. All things are yours. You can freely come now and receive boldly whatever it is you need from Jesus. Hallelujah. And everybody's got different problems, doesn't it? Don't everybody have different problems? One of the best promises is Romans. In Romans 10, I won't go there, but I'm going to quote it. Romans 10 is not just for the, it's just not for the, not just for the sinner. It's for everybody. He says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Do you understand that you've got to believe this in your heart, and you've got to talk like it's true? Because you know it's true. You can't fake this kind of life. You can't fake being a Christian. This is from your spirit, man, living from your heart, living from your spirit, and allowing the inner man to dominate the rest of you. So say, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, I just can't stop lying. I can't stop doing drugs. I can't stop smoking, or I can't stop whatever it is. If it's sin to you, you need to stop it. If you can't stop lying, you need to stop it because you're acting just like the devil, and that's of his kingdom. I never tell a lie. I want to know why I never lied. I do it for me. Because my spirit man is hurt. My faith is damaged. My faith is crippled and chipped away at every time I ever tell a lie. Because I am walking in a place where I have to believe God on a level that most folks don't ever have to believe God. I have to believe God for everything. And I like it. I like believing God for everything. This is a highway of life. This is a highway. And so, but if I lied, if I allowed my spirit man to tell a lie, see, I speak out of my spirit. If I allowed myself to lie, I would be aligning myself even a little itty bitty bit with the kingdom of darkness. And I can't afford that allegiance. I can't afford that domination. I am no longer dominated by the kingdom of darkness. But you can allow yourself to be. The devil will come in and take everything you've got if you allow him to. The devil will eat your lunch, he'll steal your house, he'll steal your car, he'll steal everything you got. Unless you put your foot down to him. Jesus said, except you bind the strong man, then you can spoil his house. Does this not say, for sin shall not have dominion over you? For you are not under the law, but under grace. That means you can access God's ability for your life. You can access anything God says you can have. It belongs to you, and that's supposed to dominate you. That's the part that dominates you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can. You just have to believe that. You can't just believe it in your head. You got to believe it in your heart. And then you got to walk around talking like it's true. And it just, it's a whole new way of life. And back to Romans 12, 2, I didn't finish, but he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove. You can prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. God already knows what his perfect and good acceptable will is. You just don't know yet until you prove it. I'm telling you what, ever put a brand new pair of shoes on? You ain't never worn? Sometimes you got to prove them shoes out, don't you? Can I walk in these? Let me tell you, you can prove the will of God. You can prove the word of God. You can prove what is his good will, perfect will, acceptable will. And if you are doing something that God ain't, that is not of God and not of the kingdom, you know it. I know it. We all know it. But I like proving God's word. I like proving that I can be healed 100% of the time. I like proving that I never have to walk in pain. I like proving that I don't have to take a pill for nothing. I like proving that I can walk in divine healing. I like proving the will of God on the earth in my life. I can't prove it for anybody else, but I can. You prove it. You can prove it. It doesn't begin until you get your mind renewed to the things of God. It doesn't begin until you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's where it all begins. When you finally sell out to Jesus, when you finally say, Lord, I don't care if I have that house. I don't care if I have that car. I don't care if I have this or I have that. I don't care about this world anymore. I'm heaven bound and this stuff ain't going to go with me anyway. So what would a man give for exchange for his soul? And what would a man give? You can't put a price on your eternity. Hallelujah. You end up in hell. Mm-hmm. Holding that grudge against somebody or being mad at somebody ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. You're losing your peace. You're losing your joy over something that happened years ago. The Lord restoreth my soul. And restored means like it never was broken, like it was never hurt, like it was never damaged. The memory never connects to an emotion in me. I can't even remember some of the things. And even if I did remember something bad and terrible and horrible and tragic that happened to me, it doesn't even bring a sniffle. It doesn't even bring a tear. It never brings a heartache again because it's not there anymore in my heart. I've been delivered. My emotions are healed. My emotions are restored. My soul's restored. It's like it never happened. So if you can remember something bad and you want to cry and bawl and boohoo about it, shame on you. Get yourself healed. Get healed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Glory to God. That's the victory. That's the victory. That's the victory. But look at this verse, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, bottom line, saying to God, is that we got to adjust our vision. We got to adjust what things are important to us. And we've got to put our focus on the kingdom. Because the things we focus on, and we have to a certain amount. Understand, I work all my life in a job and had 3 kids. And I know what that's about. But I never miss going to church. I never miss taking them kids to church, no matter how far it was. And it seemed like I always had to drive an hour to church. But that inward man is so real to me. The inward man. And there's the outward man. The inward man has got to dominate. You've got to be more God inside minded and know that God's not way off somewhere. He's living in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. Make him please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Just prove him. You know, he's just so excited every time I say, okay, God, I'm going to prove you here. I'm going to believe your word. And I start speaking the word. Whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. How many times have I proved that one? Many times. But it becomes exciting to be a Christian, to live for the God, for the King, the God of the universe, and to prove that he's the truth. He's God. He's wonderful. I recover. I'm seeing people raised up and healed. Pain gone. That girl's pain was gone yesterday. Had a boy with a toothache swelled out. Wasn't even a Christian. I said, you come on in here, we'll get you healed. I didn't do it, but I told him, Jesus will heal you. The pain went away. Darlene, you heard that morning. That young man, he said, it's gone. He'd been up all night long with a horrible toothache. The tooth was bombed out too. I looked at the tooth. I was in dentistry 20 years. I know what a tooth looks like with bombed out. He was suffering. And that pain instantly went away standing right here. You were here that day, Nancy, weren't you? Mm-hmm. And that kid looked at me and said, how'd you do that? Didn't he? How'd you do that? It went away instantly. And he said, can you teach me how to do that? I never had nobody ask me that. Did you? Remember he said, can you teach me how to do that? That's the power of God. That's an anointing. There's a healing anointing. There's gifts. God's got 9 spiritual gifts. And you know, he's got offices, and you don't know his plans and purposes for your life till you start seeking him for them. So anyway, so Father, I just seal this word today. Lord, I'm so thankful for the word that you brought forth. Thank you, Lord, you brought us to the table today. And we've been fed a meal that has encouraged us. And Lord, I thank you then challenged us. And we're challenged, Lord, to walk in the kingdom. We're challenged, Lord, to develop our human spirit. We're challenged, Lord, to hear from you and to see your mighty works and to prove your mighty can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.